I love that reading from the psalm. As the prophets of ancient Israel did, the psalmist extends this beautiful promise to God's faithful, that steadfast love and faithfulness will meet, that righteousness and peace will kiss each other. I want to live in that world. But it seems that God's vision for peace on earth seems as distant today as it did then. There are many places in the world that this week observe the centennial of the declaration of the First World War. World War I was formally declared on July 28, 1914. That was 100 years ago, this last Monday. And after that declaration of war, quickly multiple nations were drawn into the first global war that engulfed our world. World War I and the chaos in its wake opened a century of global conflicts, the era in which we live. Now, a reasoned argument has been made that in proportion to the growing size of human population, this may not quite qualify as the most violent in history, but the sheer number of people who have been killed in warfare, the scores of millions in the last 100 years, makes this era in which we live the bloodiest in human history. To mark the centennial of the beginning of World War I is not a celebration. It is a sobering reminder that not only have the choices of the past created the present, but the choices that we make today have repercussions into the future. And it further reminds us that as in our world in this moment, there are places embroiled in deadly conflict, and many more seem to teeter on the edge every day. Our world is still not yet as it could be, not yet as God and as we yearn and ache for it to be. Despair would be the natural response. But people of faith are unnatural. I am glad to count myself among the unnatural of this world. Instead of despair, we pause to reflect, to pray, and we hope, sometimes the most unnatural response of all. And we work for the day when war will not prevail, but peace will prevail. So our message time will be a series of short reflections that are modeled on that profound and simple saying of the Taoist sage Lao Tse, which reminds us that all of our work and our prayer for peace, from global to personal, all are interconnected. So join me in praying and hoping. Is there to be peace in the world? If there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations.
From Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, we hear, blessed are the peacemakers. Not blessed are the war makers, but blessed are the peacemakers. As we commemorate 100 years since the beginning of World War I and help ponder and how this war to end all wars failed to end all wars, let us look at how we as individuals might respond to this. As mentioned by Nathan earlier, World War I began because a Serbian assassinated Archduke Ferdinand of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. There were a lot of other geopolitical issues going on at the time, but really, one bullet, one assassination, and the Austro-Hungarian Empire declared war, which then brought Russia in, which then brought Germany in, which then brought Belgium and France in, which then brought Britain in and the Ottoman Empire. And what if instead After one bullet, there was not a declaration for war, not somebody looking for a fight. There had been a willingness to stand up and say, one bullet is one bullet too many. As I look around the sanctuary this morning, and I see the young children here today, and the little baby, and I think to myself, as Nathan said, what would it be if we were in a world where when students put flowers into guns during the Vietnam War, they weren't scorned and ridiculed and hated, but instead were lauded for their willingness to stand up to the guns? What if instead of putting money to call, to create tanks and guns and airplanes, we were all like the Chinese man who stood in front of the tank and said, you will not, you will not, you will not. We glorify war heroes and ridicule peacemakers. I'm not saying that war heroes don't deserve credit for being willing to fight for their country, but I'm wondering what would it be if you and I decided, and we must decide today, because you see, today, I believe we stand on a precipice for war, unlike any other time. World War III is clearly at hand. When I look to the globe right now, and I just work my way across the world, I see China and Japan getting ready to possibly go to war over islands that are unoccupied. I see China and the Philippines, China and Vietnam. I see Iraq and Syria and Iran. I see the South Sudan and the Sudan. I see the Balkans still. Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Central and South America. There are people who are waiting for the excuse. Paraphrasing Martin Luther King, as we watch the world waiting for that excuse, we as human beings must refuse to accept that we can have no effect on the future of humankind and on the future of all of creation. War has been fought over geography, over perceived and actual slights, and our future wars will be fought over basic resources such as access to drinking water, as arid land becomes desert, as fertile land is flooded. The choice to kill each other out of existence or to find peace, to create a world that nurtures and supports all of creation, humans, animals, insects, trees, and rivers, all of that is made and carries the breath of God, is ours to make. Blessed are the peacemakers. If we stop choosing war, and we must stop choosing war and demanding peace, we can have peace. Is there to be peace in the nations?
If there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities.
We look across the world and in our own country, and we see incredible violence related to guns. We have the school shootings in the United States, which rock our very core and understanding. We have cities that it's difficult to go into certain parts of them because violence is so prevalent. We have children who can sing at the inauguration of our president and a week later be shot and killed playing in a park in their home city. That's the United States. Of the 50 most dangerous countries in the world, 37 of them are in Central and South America. Gun violence is so rampant in some cities, children cannot go to school because to leave their home means somebody's likely to die. And yet, when the families are so desperate and they send their children to this country unaccompanied to cross the borders, there are people in this country who would kick them back to the war-torn streets. And it's not a war between countries, it's a war in the cities. Chicago is currently considered the most dangerous city for gun violence in this country. So much so that it's being cordoned off. There are parts of the cities where you sort of give up on them. And yet, like all things, we have a choice to look at all that is wrong or to see the light that shines in. Blessed are the peacemakers. This week in the Chicago Tribune, the following was written by fifth graders at Bradwell School of Excellence in South Shore, Chicago. "This is us. We saw your trucks and cameras here recently, and we read the articles. 6 shot in the South Shore laundromat, and another mass shooting in Tarrytown. We saw the reporters with fancy suits in front of our laundromats. You spent less than 24 hours here, but you don't really know us. Those who don't know us think this is a poor neighborhood with abandoned buildings everywhere, with wood covering and windows and broken doors. Those who don't see us, those who don't know us, see the police on the corner and think we're all about violence and drugs. They see the candy wrappers and empty juice bottles and think that we don't care. Uneducated, jobless, and thieves. You will be scared of these heartless people. When you see us coming, you might hurry and get in your car and lock the doors. You speed through these streets at 60 miles per hour like you're on a highway trying to get out of this ghetto. We want you to know us. We aren't afraid. We know that man on the corner. He works at the store and gives us free lemon heads. Those girls jumping rope are Precious, Anaya, and Nivea. The people in the suits are people not going to funerals, but going to church. That little creepy dog is Cyneas, Lamar's dog. We are the kids who find crates so we can shoot hoops. When the sun shines here, it's not God saying he wants to burn us. He sees us all with bright futures. Those who know us look at the ones who want to go to college, not the ones who dropped out of school. If you listen, you'll hear laughter and the chattering from the group of girls on the corner who are best friends and really care about each other. Don't you see the smile on the cashier's face when the kids walk in? Why? Because this neighborhood is filled with love. This isn't Chi Rock. This is home. This is us. Is there to be peace in the cities?
If there is to be peace in the cities, there must be peace between neighbors.
Two 2,000 years ago, an earnest religious person asked Jesus a haunting question: who is my neighbor? Jesus didn't answer the question directly, but he told the parable of the Good Samaritan, a famous story of an unexpected, and for some, an uncomfortable neighbor. When you hear the question, "Who is my neighbor?" who comes to mind? On the afternoon of May 6, 2013, Charles Ramsey was in his home south of downtown Cleveland when he heard screaming from his neighbor's house. In a culture that admonishes us to mind our own business and says that good fences make good neighbors, Ramsey set aside the McDonald's Big Mac he was eating and went to investigate. That's when he saw a woman with a young child. The woman was Amanda Berry, who had gone missing 10 years earlier. She was shouting for help and trying to get outside. Ramsey went to the porch, and Berry said, "Help me get out. I've been here a long time." Ramsey, along with Angel Cordora, broke through the door and freed Berry, along with 2 other women in the house: Gina De Jesus, who had disappeared in 2004, and Michelle Knight, who had disappeared in 2002. The three women had been abducted by his neighbor, Ariel Castro, and kept in his squalid house behind boarded up windows and abused for a decade. Ramsey called 911 on his cell phone. When he handed the phone to Barry, she told a dispatcher, "I've been kidnapped, and I've been missing for 10 years, and I'm here, and I'm free now." Ramsey was stunned by the news that these women had been held captive by his next door neighbor. "I barbecued with this dude," Ramsey said. "We ate ribs and listened to salsa music." Not a clue that this girl was in that house or anybody else was in there against their will. Quickly surrounded by a whirlwind of media, Ramsey became an example of an everyday hero by simply doing the right thing. He even added that any reward money would be given to the women to help them recover their lives. Something strange happens when we proclaim a hero. Charles Ramsey t-shirts were made, and an action figure was produced. People got Charles Ramsey tattoos, and even a video game named Burger Bash was made, where an animated Ramsey throws hamburgers at a kidnapper. Haven't seen that one. But something else happens when our heroes don't come in the packages we expect. When they aren't square-jawed, broad-shouldered, or white, and when they don't speak English very well. No one questioned that Ramsey's actions were noble and praiseworthy, but some hastened to point out his criminal record. As Ramsey's video interview after the rescue went viral, there were those on Twitter and YouTube and elsewhere who poked fun at his reference to McDonald's and ridiculed his missing teeth and colorful urban black colloquial speech. And even though Ramsey said "we" and "us" in describing the rescue, Angel Cordero, who also helped rescue the women, who was soft-spoken, primarily speaking Spanish, she was largely forgotten. Who is your neighbor? Amanda Berry? Charles Ramsey? Ariel Castro? Angela Cordero? Who do you want as your neighbor, and why? Do you even know your neighbors? Whose neighbor are you? Is there to be peace between neighbors?
If there is to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home.
Kayla Ann Hendrickson, Betty Loeffler, Mark Samuel Rogers, Lori Earp, Daishan Juan, Kelly Charan, Kathleen Nelson, Renee Cottam, Lola Cottam, Dwayne Bailey, Anna Lee Hagner, Brian Anthony Romo, Maria Guadalupe, Jesse Cavett, Precious Atanye Jackson, Kimberly Ann Stack, Casey Lynn Wright, Robert Libke, Adrian Nicole Bird, Tammy Borda, Jacqueline Merroquin. In 2013, at least these 20 people were killed in incidents related to domestic violence just here in Oregon. In the year 2012, 31 people were killed in incidences relating to domestic violence. The victims include women, men, and children throughout the state. When you hear domestic violence happening, whether against a woman, a child, or a man, do you ignore it? When you hear the shouting in the house next door to yours, do you just close the window? When I was 12 years old, my dad caught me smoking. And my dad was a long-term smoker, and my mom was a long-term smoker. And my dad got so angry that he picked me up and he threw me across the room. And then he picked me up and he threw me back across the room again. And then he threw me again and again. And when he got tired of throwing me, because I was 12 and chubby, he went and he got a whisk broom. And he broke the head off of the whisk broom. And he beat me with the stick of the broom until he was too tired to lift the broom again. And in my 12-year-old smartassness, I got up and I ran away from home. And we were living in a different country. It was 35 years ago. Times were a little different. But I went to my friend's house, who happened to be 33 years old. And the bruises were already showing. And they kept me for a day. And they took me shopping with them when they went shopping. But when my mom came to pick me up at 5, they handed me back to her. And I got to go home. When I was 19, I went to the airport to meet my dad, who was flying in from another country here in Oregon. And the reason I went to meet him, because I'd stopped talking to him, because I was pretty certain he was coming to kill my mom. And I thought if I met him at the airport, maybe he wouldn't kill her. I don't know if I had anything to do it with him not doing that. But that's the reality of my childhood. That's the reality of 25% of families in the United States. Not a lot of people are willing to pick up the phone. Not a lot of people are willing to talk about it publicly, even today. And yet psychologists say that if we were willing to do the work that needed to be done to end the cycle of domestic violence, that 90%, I want to repeat that number to you again, that 90% of the criminal problems we have in our culture today would disappear. Violence begets violence. Violence in the home begets violence between neighbors, begets violence between cities, begets violence between nations, begets violence in the world. When you hear domestic violence happening, I, as a survivor, ask you, don't make it be tomorrow's headlines. Blessed are the peacemakers. Don't judge the person who is the survivor. Don't judge them for being in the situation that they are in. Don't judge them for going back again and again and again. Be like Jesus. Open your heart and remember that there are people like me. Old Goofy Kimberly, who could have just used a phone call. Are you willing to be the one to make that phone call? Is there to be peace in the home?
If there is to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart.
Camouflaged and still, I forget what lies coiled in a well-hidden corner of my heart. Yet, threaten its security, wound its pride, offend its honor, will its hissing arrow head poise to strike. For before a pen signs a declaration, or a voice gives an order, or a finger pulls a trigger, a heart has already taken aim. But if I see it only over there or with them and do not know its stirrings within me, I am deceived. For at a glance, my eyes can shoot wounding bullets of disdain. My words can wither a soul as surely as napalm burns a forest. My hand hovers over a red button of anger, ready to launch its attack. I will not be deceived. I will remember. The first and last war begins and ends in my heart. Let me introduce you to our peace pole. Peace pole is a monument that displays the message and prayer, "May peace prevail on earth." On its four sides in this case, or six sides in some cases, that prayer is usually in different languages. 50 years ago, this simple prayer, "May peace prevail on earth," was conceived in a moment of inspiration by Masahisa Goi of Japan. And those simple and profound words, "May peace prevail on earth," reached into the hearts and lives of global citizens everywhere. It is now found on tens of thousands of peace poles in 180 countries and on every continent in the world. They are to serve as constant reminders that we can visualize and pray for world peace. There are peace poles at the Allenby Bridge between Israel and Jordan, at the Peace Park, where the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City were held, peace pole at the War Museum in Vietnam, at Robben Island in South Africa, where Nelson Mandela was imprisoned. They're at the pyramids of Giza, and at the site at the Jordan River, where it is believed John baptized Jesus. At schools, churches, synagogues, mosques, and temples around the United States and around the world, and now including at MCC Portland. We gaze upon a peace pole and pray the prayer. We unite with people all over the world who have planted peace poles in the spirit of peace. Ours has four languages. English, perhaps for obvious reasons, that is the language most of us speak. It also has in Spanish, the next most dominant language in our state and country. It's in Chinese, the largest nation in the world, and also more people in Portland speak Chinese than speak Korean or Japanese. And in Arabic, which is the language of the Quran, and in our contemporary world, the tensions between those who speak and read Arabic and those who do not seem to be powder kegs all over. It is good for us to gaze upon the words, "May peace prevail on earth," in Arabic. The Peace Pole will be planted in our renovated gardens in the west so that we, as we walk past and others walk and drive past, they might be invited to pray and unite for peace. So as our first act with our Peace Pole at MCC Portland, I'm going to invite us to make peace flags that will be included on the Peace Pole. And that is an invitation to join me as someone who is unnatural and has decided not to despair, but has decided to pray and hope and work for God's vision of peace on earth. So join me in not despairing, but in hoping and praying. Now, earlier, you took a square of fabric and should have access to a pen. I want you to take a few moments of silent reflection and identify your prayer for peace. Your prayer for peace somewhere in our shared world, somewhere that may be very far away from here geographically, or somewhere that is very close at hand. Reflect for a moment on your prayer of peace. And I'd invite you on that square of fabric to write a word or a name or a simple symbol on that fabric square and create a peace flag. Now, a little tip. It is not easy to write on fabric, as some of you are probably already discovering. So my tip is get a hard surface, like the hymnal in front of you or the sign-in books. Get a hard surface. And if you're writing, use simple lines or block letters. You'll be more successful. And if you choose not to write, I ask that you hold the flag with prayerful intention so it becomes a flag that bears your unwritten prayer for peace. And when you've finished, we'll have several minutes of music and reflection. When you have finished, there are a few options of what you can do with that flag. You can bring it forward, and we will have folks up here to assist in clipping it onto the pole. You can just hand it to us, and we'll clip it on the strands of the pole. If you don't want to come forward but want your flag placed there, there will be ushers in the aisles that can take that flag and bring it forward. And if you need a little bit more time to think about that, you can bring it forward during the offering, and there will be baskets at the edge of the stage where you can simply place your completed prayer flag. Make sense? A few minutes reflection, write, you can bring forward, ask an usher to bring it forward, or bring it during the offering or communion time. So, in your heart, in your home, in your neighborhood, in our city, in our nation, in our world, may we pray for peace. Mm-hmm.